You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Half men, half couch.
They could be doing nothing themselves, but you know what they'll do? They'll start doing a little tinkering.
Fall asleep.
And then they'll look at you and say, oh,
look at you.
I got to reorganize this cupboard.
Yeah.
I got to do this one. They'll pick a fork out of the kitchen sink. Oh, I got to clean this fork.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Now, I do not consider myself a jealous person, generally speaking. But I got to be honest, I am overflowing with jealousy this afternoon.
And I think I know why. You had a look at that little gem that I brought in here.
You have a briefcase that you have brought into the rotation. It is now a part of you. It is like a fifth limb.
Well, let me give you some background before. Do you want to tell, or do you just want to hear the background?
Well, I think people know the background. The bag in Vancouver, right?
Was stolen.
You had your bag stolen in Vancouver.
But there's also another little nugget where I was watching a movie with De Niro, the intern, where he walked in, he had this briefcase, this old school briefcase.
Immediate credibility.
You think?
A briefcase is immediate credibility.
Why?
Because
it just means you've been around the block?
Veteran status, check. You've got stuff in there.
Check. Yeah, but it might be a flask.
It doesn't matter what's in there. There's something in there.
There could be porn DVDs in there. It doesn't
matter. Anything.
You just think that someone that...
Something's in there. And it's valuable to the briefcase carrier.
Something's in there.
And they never look weathered. They never look cheap. A briefcase invariably is leather. It's got a combination. It's got a handle that is... You can't rip that handle off. The jaws of life couldn't get that handle off that briefcase.
No. A crowbar has no chance that handle.
Immediate credibility, and I'm so jealous that you beat me to the punch because I bring a stupid Lululemon bag in there. I don't even know what I have in. I should go through my bag.
Brian, I'm not going to lie to you. It looks like it's from 1985, right?
But that's better, man. The vintage, it's like vinyl.
It doesn't matter, but it's so much more functional. You open it up, there's space. Like the bags, the man purses nowadays, everything's squished together and you got to dig for stuff.
There's like a flap on a merce. It's annoying.
That's the new move.
Yeah. I love it. I can't believe it's in here, but I love it. Do you have a combination or is it 000? Is there... I posted a story on my Instagram account, at HaysTSN on Instagram, and it's of you unveiling the briefcase. James Duthie's in here, and...
That's all I got left, buddy.
Duthie, tell me that is an instant credibility. I fully support
when you first started working at TSN, did anybody wheel in with one of those?
Maybe Van Horn. That would be a Van Horny case. My dad had almost that identical briefcase, so this is what we're talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my dad retired from, my dad was office in the RCMP for his last 20 years or so, and so his retirement party, I think I was 19, so 30 years ago, that was pretty hip.
Wow. But see, your dad...
But I was just saying to Brian, like, this is way more functional. You open it up, there's space, there's different pockets to put stuff.
Some of the guys down on Bay Street or downtown that still work those suckers.
Big time. I'll bet you. Yeah. I think, honestly, they should be making a comeback if they're not popular on Bay Street.
What happened to your other bag?
No.
Were you there for that? Were you at the club or what?
I was there that night.
We had a brief hello. His son hates me and he gave me a fake handshake. And I'd tell him, I'm like, he hates me. I know it.
He does it. He's over it now. He was up. Jeff made a crack, which I thought was completely innocent, on the air. I said that when Morgan Frost had the big night on opening day, Hayes, I said, my son played against Morgan Frost when he was 7. I said, my son scored a goal in the game. I was proud. Morgan Frost scored 7. And O says, well, that's why Morgan Frost is out here and your son's in the stands.
Right.
The people that ripped O, like it was the on Twitter like it was the worst thing anyone had ever said, like demanding a public apology.
Is that right?
Now, I laughed. I thought it was nothing.
So the next two or three times I saw his son, I stuck my hand out to shake his hand. He's like, yeah.
He was having fun with it. But my son did get, he got like, you know, 30 texts from his buddy saying, man, you just got killed by ODOT.
Oh, carved you on TSN.
So it bothered him a little bit, but he was over it in 2 seconds. So
was he old enough to be at the Roxy, though?
So this was, you know, not to bridge 19. Topics, but... just turned 19, so wow. I thought, is that, you know, Overdrive 1050 poll question,
mm-hmm.
father of the year or children's aid?
No. It's 19.
You father think of the year. Father of the year.
I wasn't, like, pushing him on the ladies or anything. He has a beautiful girlfriend.
Fly him to Amsterdam and say, there's some red lights downtown. Let's go for a stroll. No.
And to be, go down that to road. Be fair, I took him, the Roxy... turns at a certain hour.
Is that right?
Well, as evidence to what happened to O. The crowd changes a little. The conversations change in tone.
The consumption is off the charts.
Yes. And I got him out of there a little bit before that. So I left before the thieves crept in on O.
Well, there's an old saying. I'm going to George Bush myself here. What is it? It's darkest right before the dawn or something like that. You know that saying?
Yes.
Is that how it actually goes? I feel like that's not eloquent enough.
No, I think that's exactly it. That, okay. It's very...
I'll put it in plain terms for you. Nothing good happens after 1:30 a.m.
Well, the reason I wanted to kind of George Bush myself there and attempt a saying that we say down in Texas, I'm sure you say it here in Tennessee, is that as much as I don't want to see your bag, I don't want to see you be the victim of theft, obviously. And your gold medal was in there. That's awful. But if the outcome is you become a briefcase guy,
I have no choice.
There's
I
a positive.
This.
I'm not going to lie. You look.
There's a positive here.
You look richer. You look more distinguished. Now you have a nice suit on today. You look different because when you're in here with your hoodie and your little backpack, you know you were getting a little up in age to pull that off. Now and this is coming from a guy who tries to pull that off. So, you look like I would make a. Yeah. You could be like Trump's new secretary of something.
Wolf of Wall Street.
You know you need leather gloves.
And I have them.
Then you're Patrick Bateman from American Psycho.
Hey, I got a pair of those for Christmas.
There you go. Leather gloves.
Leather driving gloves.
It doesn't even matter what you do. People just assume that's a successful man.
Yeah, and I bought mine at Walmart.
There you go.
In Collingwood. It's like you wear a nice suit and those leather gloves. They think they're Gucci.
And a briefcase.
Well, we will post.
It's like a whole new O.
Yeah, I love it. I fully support it. 2019 is doing great things for you.
If they find your bag, would you go back? Will you go back to the bag?
Everything will be transported into here.
Will the gold medal be in the briefcase?
Never. It goes back on my tragically. It's over. Like, I'm not getting it back.
You've concluded that you don't think you're getting
it back? Well, I've got people in Vancouver. They have images of the people that stole it, and they have video and all this stuff, but I haven't heard anything.
Can't they go public? Put that on you did the interview with the local news. Can't they put that on the local news? That's a story. I did local news for 7 years, but that's a story. We love our little, what do they call it, CCTV video.
It's like when you watch there's a show on A&E called The First 48.
Oh, yes.
You don't get it done in The First 48.
That would have been a great episode, your medal.
The First 48, the gold medal.
No, if you don't get anything after The First 48, goodbye. It's just nothing.
Yeah, and sadly, that's for murder cases.
This is a
petty
medal.
Petty theft, they're probably not. It's probably not, like, you know, 48 minutes.
They're not even looking at it right now.
No.
There's no one they're in not. Vancouver even checking it out anymore. As soon as you left town, your medal... the story died.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you in here, James. Both you guys, esteemed members of the panel tonight, because you're back on the NHL beat. Is this like a big transition for you?
Yeah, it's weird. Every year, I feel like I never watch less NHL hockey than during the World Juniors, because you're there when you do all the games. You're there at the rink the entire day, and. I try to watch SportsCenter, but you can't even watch SportsCenter sometimes because you get home
especially
late.
Especially in van, it's such weird hours.
Yeah, and so I come back and I'm just like, who won what? Who's on a 9-game winning streak? What's going on? I usually do all my radios on Thursday, and I was doing them all today, and I had my little standings ready because I thought I was going to get caught with, you're in a playoff position now. Everything's great. No, we're 9 points out right now. Oh, okay.
You're not doing radio in Anaheim, are you?
No.
Because they lost again last night to Ottawa. And
yeah, that's a disaster.
That's ugly. And Edmonton's ugly.
I've caught up. Pittsburgh's hot. Okay. Anaheim sucks. Ottawa still sucks, except they won last night.
And but Anaheim's still kind of in it after losing all those games.
Yeah.
Well, because that division's goofy. I mean, Vancouver. I did Vancouver radio this morning. They're 1 point out of a playoff spot. And they're like, we're a playoff team now. You can't trade Alex Edler at the deadline. I'm going,
you're delusional.
What?
You're delusional.
What's going on? That was the topic.
You have to make moves if you're in Vancouver. Yeah. They're not a good team. They're not. And if it's actually about an arc 2 or 3 years down the road, even if you make it, who cares? You're getting dummied in the first round.
And we talked about this with the Leafs years ago, Brian. Do you want to keep the group together to just barely get in and get dummied in the first round? Like, is that really what you want? Where you can turn that into assets down the road and really be competitive?
It's a terrible mentality to have.
But it depends on what the pressure points are. I'm not speaking for everyone in Vancouver. I think everybody probably thinks if they can't get a deal with Alex Edler done in the next month, they should probably trade him at the deadline. He's 33 years old. So I think people in Vancouver have their heads on straight on it. I just couldn't believe the discussion was about, well, should they go for the playoff spot to give something to their fans? I thought, man, I guess you're in a spot, but...
I think that's more terrifying in Edmonton, because Peter Chiarelli might actually just unload everything he's got. Peter Chiarelli may be like, I need to keep making moves. What can I give up to get something? Like, Rashog was tweeting about it today. They're playing tonight. Brandon Manning is a healthy scratch again tonight.
Oh, my God, are you serious?
Yes, Chiarelli just acquired him. He's got 2.25 next year on the cap. They can't score. Their wings are terrible. Drake Kajula, it's not like he's Yuri Curry or anything like that, but he's okay. They gave him up to bring in a guy who's a healthy. And
they could make the playoffs, and I still think it's in many ways the greatest mess in the NHL.
It is, outside of maybe Ottawa. Ottawa is still a mess.
Ottawa's a mess because of the ownership, but Ottawa's not a mess as far as the prospects they have and everything. Like, there's still stuff that could make sense in a couple of years there, whereas Edmonton's in this nasty hole of... just nothing around those two guys, and
you know what's
not
be
much
interesting is to be this done. New thing on what is that website where they're tracking all of the GM's transactions, their spending, and what they've done.
Cap Friendly.
Cap Friendly is doing a thing on all of the general managers and all their track record, and it's gonna drive people on Twitter crazy.
Yeah, if you're an Oilers fan, block that site.
Don't even look at it.
Don't look at it. Don't go on it. Don't look at it. It's you know, Shakespeare had all these, he had so many different forms of poetry and the plays. That's an absolute disaster. That's a debacle.
Well, Shakespeare said it's darkest before the dawn.
That's right. He did say that.
I don't think he said that.
I think he did say that. Leafs in action tonight there in Jersey.
The Leafs in full bloom, right? Except for Freddie. Isn't this the Leafs?
Yeah, Hyman's back tonight.
Is this the first time they've had these 12 forwards? Excuse me, again, I'm in World Junior mode, but... before Hyman got hurt, I guess that Nylander was back before Hyman got hurt, right?
He was. Now, I will say Tyler Ennis is still out, and Ennis was technically a part of that program. So I guess
Trevor Moore's there, but basically this is your group, essentially, right?
Yep. And then Michael Hutchinson in net, so outside of the two goalies that are ahead of him. But they got to get rolling here. You know, they've lost 3 or 4 in regulation. Boston's right behind them. Boston will be in town on Saturday night. This feels actually very similar to the last time they were in Jersey about a month ago.
Right.
And they just laid a beating on the Devils.
Can I tell another story about my wife's lack of knowledge of sports really quickly?
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to see this trainer. And a few months ago, or maybe last year, she told me, she's like really good friends with this hockey player. And I didn't pay attention. I said, who is it? She goes, I don't know. And I said, well, is he a junior hockey player? Is he in the minors somewhere? I don't know. I just know he plays hockey. I'm like, well, it could be a beer league guy. So she comes home yesterday and she goes, oh, that hockey player guy. Remember I told you my
Connor
trainer's
McDavid.
Friends with him? No, she goes, he got bought by the Leafs. I said, what? He got bought by the Leafs. The Leafs bought him, so he's on the Leafs now. I said, what's his name? She goes, Atkinson or something. I said, Hutchison, the goalie? Yeah, that's it. So the Leafs goalie is who you were talking about.
Really?
She is just, God love her.
Well, listen, Michael Hutchinson.
Brooksy is something else.
I'm not sure how many Leaf fans were familiar with Michael Hutchinson, but they are.
But now he's the Leafs goalie.
Now he's actually their starting
goalie. And she was talking about him like he was a beer league guy.
Well, you know what's been interesting is trying to get a read on Babcock and how he feels about Hutchinson. I'm not convinced he loves Garrett Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't inside information. I would guess he would have preferred to keep McElhaney. That was his guy, veteran presence. He knew what he got. Dubas won out. Dubas is the GM.
It's a safe bet on safe a veteran bet. Coach who's done that for his entire career.
Yes. And now Sparks is concussed. There's nothing he can do about it. He can't play. So Hutchinson is in. And now you get this impression like, okay, maybe Babcock is pro-Hutchinson and wants to give him the opportunities. It's not going to matter in the end because he can be waived and go down to the Marlies. Sparks would have to be placed on waivers. And this is also the same guy. Now, he was being tongue-in-cheek. But prior to his first game, Hutchinson starting, Babcock claimed he didn't know his first name. I don't know if you heard that clip. You may have been at the juniors. But I think he was obviously joking, but he went up to him. He's like, I asked him, what's your name? What do you like going by? Go out and have fun. Okay, so this guy claims he didn't know who the hell he was, but now all of a sudden he's got these grand ideas of him being his backup for the next 3 or 4 years. I mean,
he pulled the Pat Burns where he's like,
Pat Quinn, isn't it?
No, Burns was like, I wouldn't know Bill Berg if I ran him over with my car.
But Pat Quinn really didn't know the names of half the guys, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, he called Roberto Luongo Luigi in the Olympics. Like, Luigi, you're up. You're playing tonight.
His starter.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Everyone was like, who's Luigi? And they're like, I guess it's you, Luongo.
I love it. Best.
But I will say this. Freddie Anderson minor injuries are the best thing for Freddie Anderson. And one more down the stretch would be great. And that sounds ridiculous. But anything that's not lingering, I still think, because Babcock is so dependent on him, will want to play him all the time except back-to-backs the rest of the season. And so a couple of little Freddie six-game, four-game stints out, I think will pay off come playoff time if they get to go on a run.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I do think because the Leafs haven't stumbled. You know, they've lost 3 or 4 in regulation here. I guess it technically is a flip based on their standards.
They're fine,
but Boston has come on hot. You know, Boston, this is what we would have expected before the season started. If everyone was healthy, I figured Tampa, Toronto, and Boston would all be kind of hovering around the same point totals. The problem is Tampa hasn't pulled their weight. You know, they've actually exceeded their weight. They're gone. They're so far past both these teams that feels like it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to end up with that first seed. So you're fighting. You actually have something now that you believe you're fighting for, if you're the Leafs. You're fighting for home ice. You've got to have it.
Well, I think we're talking about that, not to plug the pregame tonight, but that 1-8-1 road record against Boston and Tampa in the 2018 calendar year, 1-8-1, and you're going to get one of them, if not both of them, if you win the first round. And I believe I have to ask Jeff O'Neill, do they measure up any better than last year against either one of those teams? Ryan Hayes?
I think the Boston
Bruins.
Yes.
He said the best thing about the Boston Bruins was something that just doesn't add up. It's like, even if they get home ice advantage, you go to Boston, it's like the color of the seats, it's the rink, it's what happened back in 2013, what happened in Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't add up and it doesn't measure up, and I would just want no part of it. I want to go a different path. If
Me
I
too.
Can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's Game 7 at home.
Tampa, I'll take my chances. You want to play river hockey and go up and down and see which goaltender could do
so as great as Tampa's been this year, both you two would still rather the Leafs play Tampa if they had a choice.
Yes, I think I would. I said that last year. I would have preferred Tampa.
Yeah.
But Tavares is the difference. To answer the question directly, do they match up better today than they did a year ago? Yes, because of John Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
Like his impact. And I think the growth of Morgan Rielly has been substantial. A full season of, you know, Travis Dermott getting minutes, a healthy Zaitsev. He was brutal last year in the playoffs, but he had so many injury problems.
Like, I think they'd beat Boston this year.
You think they would?
I do, and I don't have any reason for that. I just think that hockey's funny and all these, whenever you
it's
think.
Like Red Sox beat the Yankees and they finally did it.
It's kind of happened the last 20 years. All the stuff that lasts forever, it just doesn't. And whenever you think, this is a crappy matchup for us, then boom, that's when they win. And I think this is the year that they beat them.
Do you think home ice is imperative,
yes,
though?
I think that would be imperative. If I'm going to say they're going to beat them, I guess I'm going to say they're going to beat them either way. But I think it would be really nice to get it.
You guys see Nathan MacKinnon going at it on the bench last night with Jared Bednar?
I love that because I think that shows he would never have done that any time in his career. I interviewed Nathan MacKinnon about 3-4 years ago when Duchesne was still there and the Avs were crap, and he looked so defeated with life. I walked away going, man, that's a guy that's been, he just had no life to him, and then all of a sudden Duchesne goes, and whatever reason, he becomes the guy, and he has the year he had last year, and I think he's full Crosby Bloom now as a leader to be able to do that. Okay, it may not be the perfect thing for a team to, you know, we gave Taylor Hall issues in Edmonton when he did that, but I kind of like it. I just love the fact that he cares that much and he's willing to mouth off a little to his coach.
Yeah, optically, I don't think it's ideal because now, I don't know how much media coverage that team gets anyway, but I can, to use a Toronto analogy, if Austin Matthews and Babcock got into it like that, we'd be talking about it for a month and a half.
Yes, we would.
I don't know if they're doing that in Denver today. I sense they're probably not. But
people don't understand, and it's like, that happens all the time.
Well, to that extent, not
like, in that league, in that profession. That's why it's difficult for somebody like me to transition here. And when somebody's an idiot in this building, you go up to them and say, you're an idiot, then they got to tell that person, and that person has a meeting. It's just like,
but it doesn't happen like that with the cameras everywhere on the benches all the time. You're right. It happens maybe behind closed doors more, correct?
Like MacKinnon with the
You're
full
an idiot.
MacKinnon, the full turnaround, like yelling and screaming.
Yeah,
that's, and, but this is the problem with the video. Bednar's not represented in the video. You can't see him. I looked at it actually a different way than you did, James, where you said, I think it's, you know, I guess what you're intimating is it's a positive. He's alive. He wants to get everything going. I think that's his soul being crushed even more, and that's the response, because without being privy to what Bednar said to provoke him, my guess would be MacKinnon probably came to the bench thinking, our team is a sinking stone right now, but I'm still rolling, and my line is still rolling. And if you watch Colorado, they are still playing exceptionally well. That line of Rantanen, Landeskog, and MacKinnon.
And what do they got after that?
That's their tragic flaw.
But my read on the situation was MacKinnon came to the bench, and Bednar had the audacity to say, hey, get that puck deep. And he's like, are you insane? You're talking to me? I'm the only guy. This team would be full.
I'm in on every
here.
Goal.
Exactly. That's my guess.
But he's right.
And you know what?
Of course he is
right, because he probably watches the third and fourth line guys go out there, and guys like Soderberg and different guys do nothing. And the coach probably says nothing. But the one time I don't get it deep.
Exactly. That was my read. And I don't
know
what
Bednar said. Was that what happened on the shift before, or are you just completely guessing?
This is a complete. Right. I don't know what Bednar said. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, based on MacKinnon's reaction, that's the way I kind of, if I had to put money on it,
MacKinnon,
I
think, took it as if, how dare you even question what I'm doing out here?
You're going at me. I'm actually still playing exceptionally well. We're brutal everywhere else, and you're taking runs at me
now. We don't know that. He could have been questioning anything. I just, for me, it looked like the guy was saying, this is my team, and I'm taking it by the you know what's, and if I'm mad at you, you're right. It's not ideal behavior. Sid probably wouldn't do it, but again, it's just my interaction with MacKinnon is, I just think he's come a long way. And so I'll take that little bit of negative and say, I'm going to make it a positive. I think the guy wants it really bad, and he's PO'd because the team sucks right now.
He should be in the MVP chat. He doesn't come up enough, if at all. It's Kucherov, Goudreau, McDavid if Edmonton's
in. He's in the top five there somewhere,
I think he should be, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, JD, good seeing you, man.
Good to see you, my friend.
Thanks for joining us in studio. I know you got the Rubber Boots podcast. When is that going to be up online?
I don't know. Well, our boy Stoff, we just taped it today, so he's probably got a couple of days of work. We finally hired an intern.
Is that right?
We increased our staff by 8 members in one podcast episode. We hired 8 people. All unpaid positions. See, we interact with the fans. We give them jobs.
I like it.
Perfect. You interact with the fans of the juniors, I'll tell you.
Is he a king? Who's a bigger big shot? Is it Duthie or Bob?
No, it's just they do this thing where they invite people up to sit on the panel.
He gets so angry. He just disappears because he just can't.
I take the picture because I don't know. I get wigged out. I don't like it.
One of them, my cousin's husband was one of the guys last year in Buffalo. It came up, but I think he said, "I'm." Cousin.
But they cause chaos. They're like, "Yeah, everybody come." It's like Santa Claus is up there. It's like, "Yeah, come on up." And then it's like commercial, or we're on air, and people are waving and being idiots, and it's just
embrace it, man. You're like,
I don't, and I never will. Yeah. And I just
What was the tweet you sent out, though? You had one of the pictures with you, and you're like, yeah, that's what I do. I like to take the pictures with the children and give back to the community.
No, I was like, since I started doing the juniors, I really tried to instill this in the panel, engaging with all the fans.
A man of the people out there.
He will literally say, like, he won't even be polite sometimes. He'll be like, get lost, we're working.
Oh, I'm not,
a six-year-old child.
Oh, now you're lying. That's a joke.
Well, that's a shame. That disappoints me.
You look good, though. You still look really professional.
And the briefcase. That's what was missing out in Vancouver. I'll bet you those losers...
Well, my other one did.
Yeah. They wouldn't have the stones to steal a briefcase. Because they think there's no point.
This, baby.
You can't get in there.
I can't even... There's not even a brand name.
Doesn't need one. It's just briefcase.
But if you have any tips on how to change the code, let me know.
Yeah. Is it zeros across the board right now? Is it?
No.
Okay. I'm going to try to guess it by the end of the day. I'll see if I can guess it. Yeah. I got an idea.
But the thing is, how do you change it?
I don't know. Ray's coming up just after 5. I had a sit down. Merrill Hodge was in studio, former NFLer. He's got a book out, really provocative book. We'll tell you about that later in the afternoon, and we're closing in on the wild card weekend, or the divisional weekend. We'll get to that as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. We got a pair of tickets to give away, Leafs Coyotes, January 20th, and every day this week we will provide you with the clue to the identity of, or the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And tomorrow you can call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf has played 661 NHL games. 661 NHL games. Final clue tomorrow afternoon. Noodles will be back tomorrow. Noodles was calling that game last night in Anaheim. Anaheim losing again. Ottawa beating them in overtime. Ottawa's in L.A. tonight. And L.A. is terrible, but this is how bad Ottawa is, and I guess Vegas, accepting that it is a back-to-back and there's a little bit of travel, like a 40-minute drive. But L.A. is like a minus 225 favorite tonight. Like, massive favorite. And L.A. is the second worst team in the league. So that should be a real barn burner tonight.
Anaheim is such a mystery. They just lose, and they're somehow in it, and they start off on fire, and then, I don't know. Randy's still there. Their GM got an extension.
The extensions for bad teams,
it's just,
it's strange.
Crazy to me.
You know,
if I'm an owner, I'm thinking, I'm not extending anyone right now. No one's getting contract extensions. And it seems like they pop up at the worst possible times.
Well, the Leafs are in Jersey tonight. John Hines just got an extension, I think, last week.
Why? They're awful this year.
They're
terrible. Their goaltending has been brutal, but what was the urgency to extend the coach?
That's what I don't know. I mean, they did make the playoffs last year, and their goaltending is an absolute disaster. Corey Schneider, it almost feels like his career is coming to an end.
Yes, he can't play anymore.
No, and Keith Kincaid, this is the real Kincaid. Last year, he had a heater down the stretch, got him into the playoffs. Good for him. I have a feeling he's on the firing line again tonight. At least ran him out of the building last month.
7-2.
I think they're going to do that again tonight. We'll see. But Hines just got one like a week ago. And
apparently, Shiro's up next.
Yeah, the GM down there. I don't know. Randy, though, is in trouble. You have to be. If you've lost, like Anaheim has lost 9 in a row. They lost at home to Ottawa last night. Like, I'm almost surprised Randy is still there today.
No kidding.
Like, if I'm being fully honest. Yeah. Like, with all due respect to Randy Carlyle, I'm borderline. If you're not getting fired after that last night, then
when are you getting fired?
Maybe you're safe for the whole year. You know, maybe that's the mantra of the GM and the owner. I don't know. Ray's coming up from Jersey ahead of the game tonight. You can watch it on TSN4, Leafs Devils.
Did he get there?
Yeah, he's there. He's in attendance. I guess it's 80s night, so they're asking for pictures of all of us. I think Noodles sent them in. Did you get a picture from you in the 80s?
No, I was asked at like 3:30 today on my way in from work. Maybe give me some notice.
Well, I got one. And it's not good. I'm a kid, so it's not the end of the world in the 80s. But I'm going to take some heat for this one if it gets onto the telecast tonight. I'm thinking I might post it online. But once it's out there, then it's always out there. But you got time. You could call up your mom. Or you, they would have it. No, they'd have pics of you as a kid in the 80s.
Call me in the morning. That's more acceptable.
Well, you do have a briefcase, so you've got to stick to...
regiment.
Yeah, you've got a regiment.
Timetables beyond time.
You hear this story about Kyler Murray, who was the Heisman winner last year, this past year, out of Oklahoma.
Got it signed with the A's?
Yeah. He went 9th overall in the draft. He's ranked their 4th, you know, best prospect. He's a stud baseball player. Like,
he just,
stud.
He just signed for a $5 million signing bonus.
Yeah. I think it was closer to 4, I think. But he, like, that money is there. It's for him. And, yes, yeah, so you got to start at the bottom of the barrel like every other prospect. Coming out of college, he's going to start in low-A ball. He's going to have to make his way up to the majors. But that money is guaranteed. That $4 million or whatever, that's in your pocket. But I feel for this guy because this is a head versus heart decision, the epitome of it, because he wants to play football. You can tell. Like, just based on, he's had some anxiety about the decision. He's been wavering a little bit. Now it's come out. They have to make a call. If you're going to be admitted into this year's NFL draft, the deadline is this Sunday. And the report came out today, I believe it was, that he's going to, in fact, include himself in the NFL draft. Now, just by being drafted doesn't mean his baseball career is over. But no one's going to draft you in the NFL where the premium of picks is way more valuable than baseball, because there's 7 every year, where in baseball there's like 50 rounds. And in the NFL, when you draft somebody, especially high, you expect them to play for you almost right away. And quarterback's a little bit different. But if you're at the combine and you're sitting down there with teams, they're going to be like, are you like, I might take you in the first round, but that means you have to give me a guarantee you're playing football.
I would never touch him, because he's going to sit down on his couch one day and someone's going to say you could play baseball, and no one's going to run after you and try to kill you, crush you, no contact. Obviously, it's grueling. The schedules are long, but none of that. What do you want to do?
That's the head. That's the, like, logically, that makes a lot more sense. You're not going to get beat up. We got to guarantee this money's here for you, you know, and you're a really good ball player that's probably going to get there. You're a shorter, more athletic quarterback. You know, you're incredibly talented if you're Kyler Murray, but there's no guarantees you're even going to make it in the NFL.
Yeah, I would do one test if I was his father. I would get a baseball player that's 60 years old, and I would get a football player that's 60 years old and say, walk 20 meters and just take a look at both of them and say, which one do you want to be?
Well, better yet, you can call up Jeff Samardzija, who would have been a first-round pick likely. Like, he was a stud. I believe he was an All-American tight end out of Notre Dame.
Pitcher?
Yeah, the pitcher, absolutely. He was there with Brady Quinn. It was him and Quinn. They were a 1-2 package. Like, that was when Charlie Weiss was a coach, and they were a highly rated team, and he was a stud.
Well, isn't Jeff Samardzija making $20 million a year?
Making a fortune.
Fortune.
And he decided, you know, I'm going baseball, man. I'm a pitcher. He obviously believed that he could get there, and he got there, and he's making a fortune. He's made a lot of money. He hasn't been hit once in 10 years, you know, or whatever it is. But, you know, I feel for this guy, because he's been granted a talent that, like, you just don't see these kind of guys. No. And because of the position he plays in football, the idea of him being a dual threat, it's not accessible. It's not possible. You know, like people are saying, I'd love to see him be the new Bo Jackson. Bo could show up at a football field and just say, tell me when I'm going to be handed the ball and I'm just going to run. If you're a quarterback, you have to be in there first, out of there last. You've got to know all the intricacies of the playbook. It's too complicated of a position for you to be focused on anything else, let alone a whole other sport. So I don't think it's available to him, but you know what he's thinking. He is thinking about when he's 60, but not his health. He's thinking, I don't want to wake up when I'm 60 and say, I can't believe I chose baseball. I love football so much, and I love being, and I think I could have been in Canton as a Hall of Fame football player. And it turns out he went baseball, and he kind of made it to the majors, and he hung around for a bit and then dusted out. You know, like, I envy the position he's in, but I also, in a way, I empathize for the guy, because you've got a crossroads here that really no one ever is in this position. But if you pick one and it doesn't work, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life.
I just think about being the kid's dad. It's like, this is a slam dunk. Go play in the big leagues.
Right, but he's not going to step right into the bigs. That's the thing,
that,
right?
In the NFL, baseball is the pick for me. It's not even...
It is for me because of all the sensible angles that you've laid out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not physical. The money's there. You know where you're being drafted to. There's also an uncertainty with going into the NFL draft. Maybe he gets drafted in the third round. You know, what if Kansas City takes him? And it's like, well, you're just going to be a backup to Mahomes for the next 10 years.
Yeah. What's that going to pay you?
I don't know. Exactly. Like, which team is going to take you that you feel like, okay, I've got an opportunity to actually play? That's another variable that is undetermined at this point. Oakland loves you. The A's love you. They're giving you this money. You went in the first round. They believe you're going to play. They're going to try to get you through the ranks as quickly as possible. They're going to protect you. NFL draft, there's way more uncertainty until it happens. But he's going to go into the draft. And luckily for him, he doesn't have to make a decision until it's all said and done. But that's going to be a huge story. How committed is he and what does he really want to do? Update on LeBron James, who's been out injured with a groin injury. This is courtesy of the Lakers. LeBron James was evaluated by team medical staff and physicians today. The healing of James' groin injury is progressing, and James has been cleared to increase on-court functional basketball movements. A further update will be provided on January 16th, so next Wednesday. So he's not playing anytime soon. That's probably the MVP gone for LeBron. If he's out for a month, you're probably out. And as we discussed yesterday, I think Harden's probably in the lead. Giannis is probably number two, and I think Kawhi's number three.
There was a great gif of Giannis. Didn't he throw a ball off
James Harden?
It hit him right in the
head. Melon. Yeah, it was a bomb off the head.
And people were doing gifs where it was the MVP trophy banging off his head, and then he picked it up again.
The most valuable pass right off this guy's squash. Rays coming up from Jersey will tee up the Leaf game tonight, including what a defenseman for the Devils had to say about Zach Hyman. Mike Babcock could not have said it any better. We'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Rays coming up from New Jersey in about 15 minutes. Leafs-Devils tonight on TSN 4. Zach Hyman returning to the lineup. Power play units being shifted around, and we'll ask Ray if he feels like Austin Matthews is the victim of these power play reshuffling. I don't see it that way. I think it's more about balance. I think this is what Babcock always envisioned. It's what he always wanted.
The only way it's going to piss him off is if he's fresh and ready to go and the Mitch Marner unit starts and he goes off the ice. And he's going to say, oh, what, I'm not good enough to start a power play?
That's where I do think Babcock's got to be careful, because they were all involved in the staling process of the original power play.
Yeah.
It's not like Matthews was a guy who couldn't get it together and, okay, you got to move him and camouflage it. If you really believe you've got 1A, 1B, then don't show preferential treatment. Because last year there was preferential treatment. That first unit that ran through Mitch Marner, that was the one that was getting out there first and foremost, if everything was equal.
But imagine how crazy that is. A guy that's as good a goal scorer as Austin Matthews is not sniffing around that.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Well, he's on the power play unit with William Nylander. You know, and Nylander, I don't think Babcock is overly focused on the initiation of Nylander's season kind of blossoming and getting going here. But this could be a part of that as well. You know, for starters, they got to get on the power play. They don't get on the power play enough. You know, and that's on the officiating, I guess, to an extent. But they got to find a way to generate power plays. And then wherever the dust settles, we'll find out who's got, you know, the most production. But William Nylander's been, he's been run through the ringer here the past couple of days. There's been a lot of focus on his game. And even though he's going to be off the Matthews line, we believe, we'll find out come puck drop tonight, 5-on-5. If he's still with Matthews on the power play, they were cooking last year at times, that second power play unit.
Yeah, seam passes, ripping it under the bar. But the question is, I think they're going to be under strict orders. You got a minute each. Like the World Junior power play, those guys were told, you're not staying out there for a minute and a half. Minute, get off. You're not getting it done.
Yeah. And then, you know, in 10 games, if one unit has separated themselves, then it's professional hockey. It's not kindergarten. It's not house league where everyone gets a shot.
No, and they got enough cushion. I think they got enough points where come playoff time, you really got to get that dialed in power play unit where it's like, you take a penalty, we're making you pay.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you still want to do that now.
Well, that's where they were at the start of the year. Like, they were running at 50%.
Crushing teams. And they're going to get back to it. This might be a five-game phase. There's all kinds of ebbs and flows during the season where you've got to switch it up, you got to mix it up, get a different look.
They got too much talent. It's too much talent. They weren't executing at that clip because they had a perfect plan. They were executing because they had such immense talent. That's why. Because they're so good. You know, I would be much more concerned if everything was coming back to earth and I was like, uh-oh, they got P.A. Parenteau still running this thing. No. It's Marner, Matthews, Tavares, Nylander. They have too much talent. It's going to get going. I'm not saying it's going to be the number one unit in the league by the end of the year, but they're not going to plummet down to the bottom third. So we'll catch up with Ray. We'll get his take on the power play units and the reshuffling of the lines, and we'll let you hear what Damon Severson had to say about the impact of Zach Hyman. High praise for Hyman. And today is a big, big anniversary in the history of television. We'll tell you about that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.